be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome, friends. Welcome to all of our visitors, our members, our loved ones. Welcome. And today, it is good that we are all here together, and together we will encounter God, the Word, and the Sacrament, and in the presence of each other. Let us begin with the words printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And now I invite all who can stand to stand now. desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. By the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
By water of the Holy Spirit, God gives you a new birth. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives you all your sins. The God of mercy and might strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. How are you all today? Are you back in school yet?
No.
No, next week, right?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Well, many blessings on that. Are you excited?
Yeah.
A little sad that summer's over?
Not really.
Well, let me ask you some questions. Or a question. Do you have chores you gotta do in the house? What do you got to do? You have to clean your room?
Yeah.
You have to set the table sometimes?
Yeah.
You ever have to vacuum?
Yeah.
If you're at my house, you'd have to clean up after the ferrets. But let me ask you, what motivates you to do your chores? Are sometimes your parents motivated? Are sometimes are you afraid that you might get in trouble if you don't do them and be put in the timeout corner to watch people time out? No? Ha-ha! It's a rough crowd today. But does this fear motivate you sometimes? You can get in trouble if you don't do it? Maybe. Maybe that motivates you. What other type of motivations might you have?
Money.
Money. Do you have an allowance? Sometimes. Forgive me, Peter, if this puts a bad thought in you. But sometimes you get a reward if you do your chores?
Yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes you might get money, or you might get an ice cream sundae. So sometimes you got fear that motivates us. Sometimes does money motivate us, the reward motivate us. But what do you think your dad and your mom want to be your motivation for why you do your chores? I know it's hard. It's hard to get in your mind. Do you think it is
love?
Do you think it is because you do your chores simply because you love your parents? You love them and you want to make them happy. Maybe if I'm having a hard time and you want to help me out, it's because of love. It isn't because you're afraid of me or you want a reward for me. It's just because you love someone. And that is what Jesus is trying to teach us in our gospel today. That sometimes we love and serve God because we're a little bit nervous. Sometimes we love and fear God because we want the good things God will give us. But ultimately, I think what God most wants is for us to come to God because we love God. And we love that God sent us Jesus, who loves us. So let us pray. And friends, I invite us to extend your arms out and count of three. We'll bring it together when we're praying. One, two, three. Please repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
May we learn to love you.
May we learn to love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading this 12th Sunday after Pentecost is written in Proverbs chapter 25. A reading from the book of Proverbs. Now hear the word. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning is found on page 5 of the bulletin. It is Psalm 112. If you would respond in the dark print, I'll read the light print. Alleluia! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and pine away. The desires of the wicked will perish.
Our second reading is written in Hebrews chapter 13. Now hear the word. Let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the sexual immoral and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruits of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
They were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests choose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
One time when the kids were cooking, and what's even better than cooking was throwing massive banquets for everybody. And so whatever the excuse came along, maybe Oktoberfest, St. Patrick's Day, or Thanksgiving, or Christmas, any other celebration we could think of, we would turn our living room into a grand dining hall and invite everyone we could. And it was funny because as I was up in Washington a few weeks ago with the family gathering, all the children were telling these stories about these grand banquets we would throw. So I know it left some kind of impression. Well, at some point in that time period, one person came to me afterwards. He was a world traveler, and he suggested that I open my own restaurant. Your cooking is as good as anywhere else in the world, so open a restaurant. Now it was tempting, especially in the work in the prison, and the stress. What would it be like to have my own little restaurant, my own boss? But then the question came to me that I had to wrestle with. It was my love. I could find peace and comfort in cooking. Did I really want that to become a job? What if your love becomes work? Is it still your love? Would my passion for cooking completely disappear in running a business? That's the question of motivation, friends. And I think that is at the heart of our gospel today. And those two things this week made me think of a quote from St. Augustine. And I know St. Augustine. But remember, friends, Luther is an Augustinian monk. They're very much influenced by St. Augustine. But he wrote, there are three kinds of people who serve God. The first, like servants, fear the lash. The second, like hirelings, look for the wages. The third, like children, are obedient to their parents. The first is prompted by fear, the second by hope, the third by love. Now, a few things about this. Notice that Augustine said they all serve God. And this is the religious landscape. We all came into this room for different reasons. And we know in the religious landscape, sometimes people are attracted because of fear. They come because this may offer them, and I'm going to say this crassly, some divine fire insurance to keep the fires of hell away. Some come because of the benefits, the rewards. You want a community, you want hope and meaning, you want your life to matter. Some come for the rewards. I think what Augustine is saying is it doesn't really matter why you came in. Maybe it's hope, maybe it's love, maybe it's fear, maybe it's something else. But once you're in the door, take a step deeper into the transforming power of God's love. And that brings us to our gospel today. Jesus is there at this dinner party, watching all these seating arrangements going on, and I know it seems kind of disconnected from American society. This is, of course, an honor-shame society. Where you sat at the meal had, well, it could be, have some deadly repercussions if you just honored someone. And we don't typically worry about seating arrangements in modern America. But friends, you've all been in a spot where you were not invited to the cool children's table. You've all been not invited to the party. It is still alive and well in American culture, this hierarchical structure of whether you're in or not completely gone, friends. And on the surface, Jesus seems to offer some good advice if you're in that moment. But what he's trying to say, I think, is much, much deeper. We're in a world that jockeys for position. Sometimes the religious landscape is also about jockeying for position. And again, this is the motivation question. What motivates you? Are you motivated by the fear? Are you motivated by the reward? Are you motivated by the love? The truth be told, we're probably a mixture of all three. There's part of us that don't, or maybe afraid of the future, come to religion. Maybe we're afraid of disappointing God. Maybe we want the encounter of God as your presence, as the experience. Again, the mixture of who we are. It doesn't matter what brings us here. But maybe love keeps us here. And so Jesus, as Jesus always does, offers a simple set of instructions that goes something like this. If you want transformation of love and you don't know how to take that first step, or here's some good advice, give up the seat. Start somewhere simple with an act of humility. Start somewhere simple. Invite someone who would not generally come into the party. Invite them. And our reading from Hebrews today, friends, is like that. The goal, hopefully, the goal we will end up with in this life is that transformation into Christ where we are just grasped by love. Very few of us will ever make it. That may be the goal, but how do we get there? Well, sometimes just take that first step. Sometimes what love looks like is loving your neighbor, giving up a seat, acts of compassion. Hebrews is describing what a transformed love life looks like, not the steps to get a reward or to get. But finally, friends, Jesus ends at the wedding feast. And who is invited? Everyone. And remember, I always say this, pay attention to the symbol of a wedding feast. Because that is the symbol of the gospel. A wedding is when two people come together to be united in one. Christ came to unite heaven and earth in union. Christ came to unite your soul to Christ, to God, to unite the world back to God. The symbol is the wedding feast. And who is invited to this wedding feast? But everyone. And so it doesn't matter, friends, if you personally are motivated by fear, or reward, or hope, if you came here because of the community, or even if you just come here because of the coffee. It doesn't matter. Because what matters is this. Christ came down for us. The wedding feast is open for us all. You are all included in this work that Christ is doing in this world. And look, lo and behold, we have a table. We have our own little wedding feast. And this communion rail, my friends, think of this as a table. And who is to gather around this table, my friends, but all of us? No rank, no seating arrangements other than what happens to be in the mix for good order. But you're all invited here because this is the foretaste of the feast that is to come. friends. Here's the wedding feast. The invitation is open. May we all come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church, the creation, and the whole people of God, for God is near. For the leaders of the church, we pray. Inspire deacons, pastors, Sunday school teachers, and Christian education directors with a passion for speaking the word of God. Equip all the baptized to share your word of grace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For the well-being of creation, we pray. Sustain farm workers and all who labor in fields and vineyards to grow the food we eat. Revive plains and pastures and provide for the cattle and creatures who rely on the land for their sustenance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For the leaders of towns, cities, provinces, states, and nations, we pray. Guide them to enact equitable laws and policies for all. On this Labor Day weekend, make us mindful of workers whose labor often goes unnoticed. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For the lowly and those who are ignored, we pray. Provide for the needs of vulnerable communities, those who are unemployed, burdened by debt, or struggle to make ends meet. Accompany all who need reassurance of your loving presence, especially Joe, Carol, Missy, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Dan, Paul, Dean, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Natalia Neve, and her parents and grandparents. For immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Hear us, O Lord.
Your mercy is great.
For the hospitality ministries of this congregation, we pray. Give ushers and greeters a spirit of welcome for visitors and bless the work of those who feed and nourish us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
For all the saints who from their labors rest, we give thanks. With them, we offer our sacrifice of praise to you, O God, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident in God's presence and promise, we entrust our prayers to the one who always receives them, through Jesus Christ, our wisdom and companion.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Creator God, in your wisdom, you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Remembering then his death and resurrection, We take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered together as one, let us pray of our Savior Thomas.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Friends, you may be seated. Friends, this is the feast. This is the meal. And it is open to all. All are invited to come forward. And all means all means all means all. In a moment, the usher will come forward and will dismiss by rows. We ask you to come forward and come to the table. And you may stand or kneel at this table, whichever is most comfortable for you. We ask you to fill it in from right to left. Just come with your hand extended. You'll receive the bread in your hand. We have gluten-free options upon request, and then wine will be passed around. We ask you to reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to receive and you cannot come forward, don't worry, we will come to you. Friends, this is the feast for all, for the table of all. And even if you want to come forward just to receive a blessing, this space is open. We invite you to come with your arms crossed. This is also the last Sunday of the month where we have a healing service in the back. So if you'd like an additional prayer and anointing oil, go to our baptismal font where Deaconess Sabina will be there. How that would work, we come forward, circle back. If you're on this side of the room and want to get a head start, you can just go straight to where Sabina is and then make your way forward. Friends, this is the table. This is the moment. All of them.
Thank you.
in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Mothering God, you gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to proclaim your love in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And friends, we just pause now for some announcements, and for the good of the community, we have our word for the week inside our bulletin, so you can see all the events going on. That being said, we have a cancellation of an event that's in the bulletin. We had planned for someone to come on Thursday who we wish to the organist performer, and he just wanted to play our organ, and he invited all the congregations to listen to him play. That individual is sick, so we will have to postpone that. So that means our regular scheduled programs for Thursday are going to continue. So if you wish to go on the beach walk on Thursday, you can still do that at 11. So lots of things going on this week. Another special announcement, not a special announcement, but a reminder that I'll be on next week. I'll be away at the Synod Council Retreat. And we'll be blessed once again to have Pastor John with us. Such a wonderful thing that you're with us. So thank you for that. And now a special announcement. It is come to my attention that we have a 60th year wedding anniversary in Bob and Jerry. They have provided some cake and some refreshments out front, and I want to say a special blessing for them now. So if you're in the, I would invite you to extend your hands towards them as we say this blessing together. I will say it, they'll be in your heart. Let us give thanks to God for the gift of marriage and for the lives shared by Bob and Jerry. Eternal God, source of life and love, we praise you for the covenant of marriage and for your faithful presence in every generation. Today we give thanks for Bob and Jerry Ann, who for 60 years have shared life together. Through seasons of joy and seasons of challenge, you have held them in your grace. You have blessed them with family, friends, and a witness of steadfast love. We ask now that you continue to guard and guide them, grant them joy in the memories they cherish, peace in the life they share together, and hope in the promises still to come. By their faithfulness, O Lord, remind us of your faithfulness. By their love, remind us of your love in Christ Jesus. And send them forth with your blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, friends, for us all, may the love of God abound in you, the grace of our favor of our Savior, Jesus Christ, fill your hearts. In the life of the Spirit, bless you and give you peace.